What's the one thing that risen Savior's got? Courage. We have a long history of making bold moves for the kingdom of God, of stepping out in faith so that his message could reach more people and lives could be touched. This weekend, we finish up our series of our common heartbeat, our core values, those things that just pulsate through us. It's the atmosphere that you feel around here without really any of us thinking about it. We started out by saying it's message over method, that the message of Jesus Christ and his love is so important we'll use any method possible to get that across. It's devotion over duty. We're not about just checking off boxes, going through the motions. No, we want to be devoted to God, passionate in our faith of God. We said it's grace over guilt. There's enough guilt in this world to go around, but grace is in a short supply. And the only cure for guilt is God's grace. And we finish up, it is courage over complacency. The risen Savior is a place that courageously advances the kingdom and will not settle to be complacent, will not just sit back on our laurels and watch the world go by. It's interesting if you look at the definition of complacency. A feeling of quiet pleasure or security, and here's the catch, often while unaware of some potential danger, defeat, or the like. Self-satisfaction or smug satisfaction with the existing situation. Complacency has this smug satisfaction that everything is going well right now and it will continue to go well for the foreseeable future, not recognizing that the rug could be pulled out at any moment. This last week I read an article. The title of the article was this: The Dow's Plunge Jolts the Stock Market Out of Complacency. The article contended that for over a year we saw gains on the stock market, so people became complacent in that, thinking that it was going to go on forever. So they let down their guard. Maybe they didn't make the best decisions. And then, well, we all know what happened in the last week and a half. Complacency. Unfortunately, congregations can fall into complacency. I've seen it. You've probably seen it. A congregation is doing a bang-up job. They're advancing the kingdom. Things are going very well for them. Attendance is strong. Maybe it's going up just a little bit. The budget is being met, maybe even exceeded. The programs are going well. People's needs are being met. And it is tempting for a congregation to breathe a sigh of relief and to just rest for a little bit and to coast for just a while, to have sort of a smug satisfaction of all that's happening around them and how well it's going, while unaware of the things that are happening. Because pretty soon, there's a resistance to change. Before you know it, there's no more bold moves. There's no more stepping out in faith. Then it starts out slowly. Less and less people are coming. And they start to decline. And then pretty soon, it picks up momentum on the way down. I know of congregations, I bet you know of congregations, that at one time were booming, strong congregations, and now they're struggling to keep their doors open. Some, not all, but some, because they fell into complacency. You see, complacency has no place in the church. That's not what God has called us to do. That's not the work that he's called us to do, to just sit back and be complacent and watch the world go by. In fact, Jesus had some very strong words about a church that becomes complacent. It's recorded for us in the book of Revelation as he addresses the seven churches. To one church, he says this: "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Goes on to say, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." A smug satisfaction. I'm rich, I've prospered, everything in the congregation is going well, unaware of the lurking danger because they're not doing the work. Jesus' words are strong. about a church that wants to be complacent. Because Jesus knows that the work of the kingdom must continue, that the work of the kingdom is the most important thing that we can do. In fact, he said these words to his disciples. If you look at John chapter 9, he says, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night is coming when no one can work." What Jesus is referring to, he says, "I'm going to return. And when I come back, that's it. There is no more. So while there's still time, do the work that God has given to us." And the work that God has given to us, he wants all people to be saved. And so while there are people out there who don't have a relationship with Jesus, people out there that don't know the life-changing message that is found in him, then the work must continue while it's light. Because once it turns dark, no one can work. That's why Jesus said in Matthew this, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest fields." The harvest is plentiful. The world is filled with people that don't know the news of Jesus, that don't know the life-changing message, that a God loves them so much that he wants to be intimately involved in their lives, that he has an eternity planned for them. The harvest is plentiful. This is no time to be complacent. God doesn't call upon us to sit back and watch the world go by and just see to our needs. It's not the work that he's given to us. Complacency has no place in God's church. He calls us to be courageous. Courage to step out boldly, to step out in faith, to step out in the promises that he gives to us. It's interesting when you look at the definition of courage. The mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Being courageous doesn't mean that you're not afraid. Being courageous doesn't mean that there isn't fear in your heart. What it says is that even though you're afraid, even though you're a little bit anxious about it, you are courageously going to stand your ground. You're going to courageously advance forward. I can't help but think of the men and women in the armed services who put their lives on the line. And when they're facing attack, I have to believe there is fear in their hearts. But because they believe in this country, because they want to defend our freedom and defend you and I, they stand their ground because they're courageous in their service to us. You see, courage is boldness, but courage is not stepping out blindly. Courage isn't just stepping out into the unknown and being foolish about it. Courage means that we step out in boldness, but we step out in the strength and in the promises of God. That's why courage abounds in God's church. In God's church, the way he designed it and wants it to be, courage abounds because of the powerful promises that he has given to us and the faith that we have in him. Listen to these astounding words in John 14. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." Right, while it's still daylight, we still need to do the works that he's given us to do. But the next part of this sentence, listen to this. "And greater works than these will he do." That should take your breath away. We'll continue to do the works that he's given us to do. "And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." Contemplate that for a moment. Greater things than what's happened already with Jesus in the world. Think of what Jesus accomplished. I mean, in his short lifetime, he changed all of history. We divide history by his birthday. Think of the lives that were touched and changed by Jesus. Do you know that the most influential man in all of history is Jesus of Nazareth? Whether you're a believer or not a believer, his impact on our world and his impact on history is unparalleled. Now, with that knowledge, read again, "And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." Greater than that? How can that be? He says, because I'm going to the Father. Jesus is talking post-Easter here. He hasn't faced the cross now. But once he faces the cross, once he lays down his life for all of mankind, once he defeats sin, death, and the devil, once he grows into the grave, once he becomes our risen Savior, now even greater things are going to happen. Not only will the lame walk, but they'll dance in the streets of heaven. Not only will the blind see, but they'll gaze upon the glory of the Father. Because Jesus has gone to his Father victorious, winning for us a new life here and an eternal life with him. So what we have to offer the world, is even greater than anything before. A life-changing message for your life today and a guarantee for an eternity in heaven. This is the works that he's given to us. Is it any wonder then? St. Paul penned these words when he talked to the church at Ephesus. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. It's another astounding verse if you really read it. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. I can ask for a lot. And I've got a vivid imagination. Immeasurably more than what you can ask or imagine because of his power that dwells in you. That's why God's church is courageous. Because we've been empowered by God and his promises. It was on those promises and in that power that the early church began. Imagine a handful of people, a handful of men and women who believed that Jesus really was the Son of God and that he won salvation for all people. A handful of people that if they were Jews, their own people were against them. If they were non-Jews, the Jews were still against them. And they also had the Romans against them as well. Everybody was against them. And yet they changed all of history. From that handful of believers, billions of people have known and do know Jesus as their Savior. Billions of people whose lives have been touched and changed by the power of the gospel because of their courageous acts. Throughout history, think of all the courageous things that believers have done standing up for the gospel. Risen Savior is courageous. I'm convinced of that. All one has to do is look at our history, and we have a history of being courageous. From starting out just a handful of people in a home in Sun Lakes, saying, you know what, we need some good Lutheran theology down here in Sun Lakes. We need the means of grace. We need the word and the sacrament to the people down here. And God blessed it, and they grew. And then they went to the chapel in Sun Lakes, and God laid his hands upon them there, and they grew from there. Then they called a visionary leader in Pastor Hal, and Pastor Hal led them so that they bought this property here, a very, very bold move to move out of Sun Lakes proper and to move into Chandler because there was a commitment that we would be for all generations and we would reach out to all people. Pretty soon the Early Learning Center comes online and now literally thousands of parents have trusted their children to us and thousands of children have learned of the love that Jesus has for them because we're courageous. For most congregations, it would have been easy at that point to say, okay, there's nothing more that we can do. We've built all that we can build. We're landlocked. We got houses on two sides. We got roads on the other two sides. I guess we'll just sort of sit back and enjoy all the blessings that God has given to us. No, you decided to buy a bank. Congregation said, we're not done. There's more work for us to do here to advance the kingdom. So you bought an abandoned bank and 5 acres, asking the question, so now, God, what are you going to do with that? That's because we're going to continue to be courageous because we're sold out about engaging all generations to be passionate followers of our risen Savior. Our congregation, we want it to be engaging, where people lean in. They want to be a part of what's happening here, but we want them engaged, want them active in the ministry, so that all of us can grow to be passionate followers of Jesus and to discover what more does God have in mind for us here in our Jerusalem. What does God have in mind for us to do down here in Chandler? But we don't stop there, because we need to go on to our Judea and Samaria. What will God do through us in Maricopa? We already have members who are down there. How will he lead us? What will happen down there as we reach out to expand the kingdom? But we won't stop there, because we've got to go to the ends of the earth. So we'll continue work in Guatemala and South Africa as we help change an entire community, as we change an entire generation. Why? Because we must work while it's still light. And it's still light and empowered by God's promises. We'll be courageous. I pray that we never become complacent, not on my watch. We'll continue to be courageous, boldly stepping out where God is leading us. Because there's one thing that risen Savior's got, it's courage. And we don't need some Wizard of Oz to give it to us. It pulsates through our veins. It is our common heartbeat. It is courage over complacency. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we cannot believe the blessing. We cannot believe that your hand of favor has been on us for so many years, that you have encouraged us, you've empowered us, that we responded with boldness and courage. We pray that you would continue to bless us, continue to dwell in our hearts, and by the power of your Spirit, enable us to continue to courageously do the work that needs to be done while it is still light. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.